Welcome to the Secret Museum of the Air.
Good evening. Welcome to another round.
This is Citizen Kafka, and I'm with Pat Conti, the curator of the Secret Museum, as we investigate one of my favorite... I seem to have a lot of favorites, don't I?
Yeah, well, who doesn't? We've been talking about this for months, but we're finally going to do it. This will be the first installment of The Devil's Box tonight. And maybe you want to explain The Devil's Box.
Well, the violin is The Devil's Box, essentially. The myth has it, you straighten me out on this, but it's in more than one culture.
Oh, yeah.
That any superb violinist was possessed by the devil or had made a deal for his soul in order to have the ability to play. It's a common legend that violinists who have tremendous technique, who are great players, either couldn't have acquired all that ability in one lifetime, had to have been alive and been fiddlers before, or had to have struck a deal with somebody.
Right.
And for the juice.
And it's usually some kind of bloody pact is made, often at a crossroads or something like that. Something like the popular myth of Robert Johnson, the guitar player, that we read about endlessly now.
So tonight's theme is the Devil's Box, the violin.
We'll be listening to fiddlers and fiddle-led bands during the 1920s and 1930s from all over the world. We're going to go around the world in record time, as they say.
One quick question before we start is all of today's show will only be the violin, right?
Right.
Not the violin-related instruments, of which there are many.
Well, there will be a couple of
okay, so
of
we should those. Point those out as we
yeah,
go.
As we get
but
there.
But essentially, the instrument that's being played on most of these records is the standard European violin.
Well, for the most part.
Okay.
For the most part.
Yeah, there are exceptions.
The first piece we'll hear is from a Norwegian by the name of Gunnulf Borgen. And he will play a Springard dance. This is the Harding fiddle, the Hardanga. We'll follow that. We're going to really be skipping around for this show.
That's okay. It's the instrument that counts.
From a man identified only as S.G. Pentsheva from Bulgaria, and he'll be playing the Selska Rechenica, and that's actually a dance, and the Rechenica is descriptive of the time signature of the dance. And lastly in the set, Evstratios Kalieridou, and this is a Greek fiddler, and he's playing just a normal fiddle here, but in a wonderful way, and I think is one of the more unique showpieces for the violin in a medley. So let's go to Oslo, for where Columbia had its offices in the 1930s, sometime during the 1930s, and Gunnulf Borgen Springard Dance.
Thank you.
It as good as any Clark Kessinger piece, I think.
Without going into who Clark Kessinger is. It's remarkably similar to a lot of American style.
Yeah, filling. That was the point. Actually, it has a number of aspects about it that remind you of other things. Like, for one thing, the Cape Breton style, where they kind of speed up the pace for the dancers. And that's a set feature of a fiddle tune, besides being a medley, like, you know, in the British Isles.
Like a dance medley.
Right. So that's Avstratios Kalierdou. And I'll try to give you the name of the piece. Candilis anga mictes me ascunduria. Something like that.
All right.
Recorded for Decca in the 1930s. Before that, the magnificent Guzla solo by Pencheva in a Bulgarian Columbia. Actually, it was pressed in England. Really a centerpiece of that fiddle tradition. This is the instrument that's held in the lap and sawed crosswise. And up top, the name of the piece, the Springar dance, was called Iglet Viten, the Springar by Gunnulf Borgen for Columbia in Oslo. So that's our lobby exhibit tonight. That should give you a sample of
well, I'm excited.
A feeling for what's to come.
I mean, we've spoken before about not being that academic about these things, and we're certainly not going to be, and I can't be, even though I'm a fiddle player.
We're going to hear a polka group, actually. These are fiddling brothers, the Bracia Kuziani, and they are Lemko Ukrainian. They recorded in the 20s. So this is exciting music. So we'll hear from the Bracia Kuziani in the Polka z Pieprim, or something like that, from a 1920s Columbia. From there, we skip to Kazakhstan, and this is a beautiful piece for the solo khobiz. That's the name of this instrument. Another one that, again, is held upright in the lap. And as you were mentioning about the hair, here's an instrument where the bow is horsehair, but also the strings are made of twined groups of hair as well.
Really?
Yeah. And you have this a soft rasp to it, which you'll hear. And it's a beautiful piece which makes use of harmonics. And this is played by D. Miktibayev for an old Melodia 78. And the last piece from Eric Brent and Isaacson will be a quadril. They just call it kadril. And that from Sweden, I believe, in the 1940s. So let's start with the polka from the Ukraine by the brothers Kuziani. Thank you.
good fiddling.
Yeah, duet stuff. I don't think Bill Monroe had two fiddlers like that. I don't think he would want them.
No. I mean, it's not relevant. This is all...
No, you know what I was thinking? I was thinking of the triple fiddling. Yeah, that's it. Because of the harmonizing.
Well, I mean, one of the things that gets me is that there are certain similarities to all the styles that are inherently similar. In other words, like two fiddles playing together.
That's the thing about the first piece in that set by the Cusianis. That's a type of fiddle music that you hear all through the Tatra Mountains. So naturally, it was perfectly acceptable to all the Polish people from the mountains. And we'll hear a Polish band later.
Okay.
So you'll hear that same kind of the upright cello or the bowed bass and that rasping along and the clarinet sharing the lead, the same kind of thing. But that really is the heart and soul of it all, that there are so many things shared between these dance pieces. Did you want to further elaborate on that?
No, I don't. Yeah. I just want to hear some more music.
Okay, we're going to listen to Vidvan Rajamanikam. This is a violin solo on an Indian Columbia record, I believe, sometime in the 1940s. This record was rescued from one of the secret museum spies on a journey...
by one of the secret, not from.
Did I say from? Well, yeah. I had to wrestle it from. Sometime about 10 years ago, but this is a beautiful meditative piece, and it's actually part one of the piece that we'll hear, so you'll have to just keep tuned. That's all I can tell you. From that, we'll hear from Romani and Paolotti. These are Italian fiddle and guitar duet who recorded right here in New York City for the Emerson label, and actually a number of other obscure small labels that you've never seen, like Superior or Splendor or Excellent, that were geared strictly to the new Italian immigrants. So this is really Italian music in the new world, not necessarily an old Italian violin piece.
And this is what, with piano or
guitar? This is a guitar and fiddle, yeah.
That's another thing we could touch on.
Which is something unusual.
Yeah. For that period of time.
Mm-hmm. For Italian fiddle music to have a guitar on records here in the States.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, the fact that the violin is in a certain register, pretty high relative to most instruments, means that it lends itself to having a rhythmic instrument accompanying it. And I guess traditionally for folk and for... you know, whatever, if you want to call it folk or ethnic music, whatever it is, very often the violin would be used as a dance, you know, an instrument for dancing, and then the rhythm instrument would also carry the beat for the dancers. I guess the piano is very common. Cimbalim or cymbal, depending on where you are in the world, was a common accompanying instrument, although not quite as strong or heavy.
Yeah, a light version of the piano, if you will.
Guitar,
certainly.
Accordion,
yes.
Occasionally. Yes. And then the string ensembles, where there would be a lower-pitched string instrument, like
a
cello.
Well, often when you hear some winds or reeds, you will hear the lower register bowed instruments mixed in the ensemble to round out the bass. Because that was a problem in recording. But we'll get to that at another time. To round up this set... we'll hear from Flora Pacati and her Royal Rhythm Darkies. This is an unusual record from South Africa, and is at the cusp of a period when jive is really beginning to take form in borrowing from R&B and rhythm and blues from the States, as well as the jazz. But you'll hear this fiddle in a more township setting, a real country sound, kind of bluesed up a bit. And this on the Bato Bantu label.
Now this kind of music, even if with the group calling themselves Darkies, this was marketed strictly to the black.
This is absolutely a record that was intended for the township buying community. And these records continued on many, many years, as we said before, into the 1960s, into the 1970s for some places.
The trucks would drive around playing them through loudspeakers.
Yes, on the Umsakazo, it's called the van that has a giant megaphone on top and is blasting out the new releases of the day.
On 78s.
Still on 78s because there's not much power wired to these townships. The power in a township, lights and electricity and generators, is an exception. But this is a rare glimpse at early jive music and a fiddle-led band.
And the year about on this one?
Sometime during the 1940s. Can't quite date it. So we'll start with a piece by Rajamanikam called Intakanandra, Part 1. Thank you.
You know, it's like, I don't know if it's politically correct to laugh at a record like that, considering.
Well, you can laugh at the rolling off of the high end on that cymbal there.
Oh,
definitely.
Man. That last record, we should reiterate, is from South Africa.
Flora Pakati. Now, it might be a female actually playing the fiddle, which is unusual for an instrumental group.
Yeah.
To be led as such.
Accretion. Well, that means adding on to, but a conglomerate. It's really several American styles.
Yeah, it's a hard-edged kind of sock guitar, except without the flowery chords.
Yeah, and you know, the playing is totally deranged.
I mean, it's like to contrast that, we had one of the most fluid players to record during the 20s was Nullo Romani on that record for Emerson. And that was actually a mazurka called Vita Romantica.
That's beautiful.
Romance of Life. And in Takanandra was the first part of Raga on the violin by Rajamanikam on a Indian Columbia, the beautiful. Columbia had a certain logo that we all know, the magic notes during the 20s. It's a very telltale symbol. But in other countries, there's space in a little vignette to put the appropriate design. So in Africa, you might see a family of lions. That's not the word, is it? Brace?
Pride.
A pride of lions. That's it, right. See, I never finished the crossword. But in India, naturally, you see the Bengali tiger on the Columbia. Mm.
So a question about the second record, the guitar and violin. His playing style sounds like he has classical training.
Oh, Nullo Romani is an orchestra leader.
Okay.
He went on to have a very, very successful career as a recording artist and putting together bands and arranging for Italian music.
I mean, that's not to say that some of the greatest traditional and folk players didn't have great technique, because they did. but there is there's a telltale.
Oh, even among the Italian violinists who do have that kind of fluid touch, Romani stood out.
Yeah.
He was a great fiddler.
Well, I don't know. I have not much to say about this, except it's real interesting. We are definitely going further afield in this show than we usually do, in the sense of just flying from one country to the other, with the instrument being the one.
Yeah, I thought it would be nice. Yeah, I'm having a good time.
Yeah, the sounds are great. All right, I'm ready.
All right, from there we go to Egypt. Actually, the next artist, Sami El-Shawa, was from Aleppo. He's a Syrian. But his bread and butter was in the Egyptian record market, actually all through the Arabic world. And this is one of his masterpieces, a Taksim Sabah. And this recorded on the beautiful HMV label for Cairo. Shawa's playing the keman, or kemanj, depends on where you're from. And as we've featured him in a previous program, or two, mm-hmm. but he is a giant in world music for all time, not only as a sideman, but here as a soloist. This taksim, or improvisation, is played on one of the violins. We're not quite sure if it's the pharaonic violin that he would bring around. And in case you didn't catch that the last time we spoke about it, Shawa had a fiddle that he claimed to be made, I think the neck was part of the cedars of Lebanon, and other parts of wood were collected from the tombs in the Valley of the Kings. So this was a very sacred instrument that he would perform on, and he made his way into the United States in the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, and on, had a very long and rich career. From there we'll go to Paddy Killoran. You've heard of the Paddy Killoran Society?
Mm-mm.
Well, there is such an Irish group in New York. And it comes from this man, Paddy Killoran.
If I said yes, my Irish friends would know that I was lying. So.
I think he lived... Oh, now, this is terrible. I think he lived in Queens. Now, you're going to get a call about this.
Okay, well.
Paddy Killoran was a brilliant, effortless fiddler. He was a real, genuine rival of Michael Coleman as far as his technique went. He's the kind of fiddler who can play faster than you can think, but he also plays with great power, emotion, and some beautiful choice of tunes. We'll hear The Boys of Balisodere and Bat Henry's Favorite.
I'm sure you'll get calls about your pronunciations, too.
I'm sure I said that wrong. And this recorded about 1934, I think in New York for Decca. But it could have been Chicago. And we'll wrap up this set, just skipping back and forth here, to an anonymous fiddler. His name is not mentioned on the label. This is a very early Columbia from New York City, about 1917 or so.
Yeah, that's not that early.
And we'll hear...
It doesn't have a metal ring around the hole.
No, it's not that early, yeah. Right. And we'll hear the Taksim, or the Ushak Taksim. That's the mode it's in. And it just says Kimanile, the solo on the violin, or the Kiman. And this is an acoustic recording again, so the sound isn't going to be quite up to specs here, but we did our best with it. But here you hear an example of real Ottoman Empire music, a taksim, and up front, which we'll hear right this minute, is the Egyptian taksim, played by the Syrian Sami Efendi Shawa. Well, there must be a clue to the identity of that player there, but I couldn't really make out that comment. That was by just an observer in the studio.
Well, the quality of that record is not that terrible, considering.
Yeah, there is it's a very lively room wherever it was, so you do have some kind of richness to the sound.
Well,
you're a beautiful performance.
Oh, sorry, Pat.
I wanted to get that in.
Yeah. Well, most every record that you've played today is. This is part one of several part series of The Devil's Box, the violin from everywhere in the world. And this is the Secret Museum of the Air, and I'm Citizen Kafka with Pat Conti, the curator, emeritus
of
the Secret Museum. We're going to finish out the show with two cuts.
Yes, the first will be by Frank Dukla, or Dukla, and his Vievska Orchestra. They are another mountain band, this one from Poland. And Dukla was a very popular band leader. And I do mean a string band. This is a fiddle band with several fiddles, at least two or three. Dukla is one of them. And, of course, the upright bowed cello, which is held off the ground and strapped on, just like it was a guitar. And the piece, recorded for Victor in the 1920s, about 1926 or 27, Echo ad Schusina, or something like that. That's a province. I know at least that much about it. But there's a little clue as to what you'll be hearing in there, the echo part. And this is apparently some kind of novelty, even for the Polish community, in that it has some kind of alpine flavor to it, and you'll know exactly what I mean when it comes. Following that will be the final piece for tonight's program, The Bonnie Lass of Ballochmyle and Ye Banks and Braes, two beautiful, quiet pieces played on the violin by David McCallum. So this will be our homage to the man from Uncle. That's actually not the same David McCallum. This is the David McCallum who recorded in the English Parlophone studios in the 1920s and brought us one of the, I think, one of the shining pieces of Scottish fiddle music. So first, we go back to the mountains in Poland as we bid farewell to the fiddle with a whisper on tonight's program. Thank you. For a winter's night.
Well, you know, it doesn't strike me as hard as a lot of the other records did. And, you know, I have a propensity for what I call hot records. So it's something that, you know, something more contemplative and more beautiful and
just slow. To tell you that there's some more to come, but just take a rest for a while.
All right. This is, again, Citizen Kafka with Pat Conti. We're in the Secret Museum. This is the Fiddle Show, Part 1.
Much more to come, much more.
So good night, and we'll see you again soon.
Be sure to tune in each and every week here at the Secret Museum as we take you around the world in record time. Good night.